It's all right to clap. It's all right. I was just thinking as I was getting ready to come up here, today is one of those days when I wish we could just continue to worship. We could just keep on singing. You all sound amazing. Singing and praising our Lord together. I have so missed this. I've missed you. Some of you I've met for the very first time today, and it just brings joy to my heart to hear us together as the body of Christ praising Jesus together. So thank you for being here. So I shared last week, Isabel, our youngest daughter, had a dance recital yesterday, and then the kids have a piano recital today. So we are so excited to have my parents, Teresa's mother, and grandparents here with us today from Central Illinois. Now, as they left the kind of high heat, high humidity of Illinois, they expressed their great desire, their eagerness to come to northern Minnesota just to get away from the heat and find some cool temperatures. And so I don't know. I know God's word says the fervent, effective prayers of a righteous person avails much. I want to know which of you snowbirds is praying for this garbage that we have around us today. The poor dance recital was brutal yesterday. Those girls, well, kids, wearing all their costumes, but it was awesome. But boy, thank you, Lord, for the breeze. Thank you, Lord, for the breeze. Stop those prayers. That we want normal Minnesota weather, please. All right. So I've shared a couple times, and it's neat that Mom and Dad are here today. I grew up in the same house from by birth till I got married, and so I've always lived at 400 Eldridge Street. The house has been in our family since the late 1800s. It's a unique place. It's an old farm place, farmhouse, pasture, barns, land like that, but it's on the edge of the city of Washington. Town came up to beside Mom and Dad's house. So in the front of the house is city. It's normal town, streets and neighbors and all that. But behind Mom and Dad's house is pasture and woods and fields. It's the country back there. So it was really special getting to grow up in a place like that. I could go out the front door into the city and out the back door into the country. And I really, really liked the back door. All the time out back in the creek and back in the woods and carrying BB guns and bigger whatever, having a lot of fun back there with my friends. And I was thinking as I prepared this week's message about one story. Mom and Dad will remember this well. We had some trails back there in the woods and just narrow little footpaths, but we went back there so much we kind of had our little ways of walking around the woods and exploring and seeing what we might find and whatever. One day, one of my neighbors, one of my friends named Pete, he and I were walking through the woods, walking down one of our little trails. And I mean, this is like hard to get to. You got to walk really through Mom and Dad's property basically to get there. So it was very secluded. We're walking along back there and we come upon unburied treasure, a pile of money laying on the ground. I mean, a pile of coins, a whole bunch of silver coins just laying right there on the top of the ground. Again, unburied. I knew we could look for buried treasure. This was unburied treasure laying right there. And I remember when Pete and I saw this pile, we looked at each other and we just dove to the ground and started filling our shirts up. And I noticed right away he was grabbing the bigger coins, the quarters and things. I was just grabbing whatever I could grab. And so I started fighting him for the quarters. So we fill our shirts up with all this change. I mean, a big pile of treasure right there that we found just waiting for us. And then we went up, and I think Mom and Dad must have been gone. We went to his parents. Maybe we thought they'd be more likely to let us keep it. I don't know. But we went there, and Pete's mom was very surprised as well, and she said, well, we have to go down to the police station. And so we did. We went down to the police station. We turned it in. They counted it up, and then we asked them the question that every kid would want to ask, when do we get our money? And I don't remember if it was 1 month or 2 months or whatever, but if no one claimed it, then we got it. And you know what? No one claimed it, and we got it. And I don't remember how much it was. It seemed like it was around $60. I don't know. It was a fortune as a kid. But the experience was greater than the amount of money that we got. And all they could think was someone must have stolen money from like a vending machine. And then they, I don't know why, they just dumped it on the ground right by the trail. But it was a neat story, neat memory as a kid. Have you ever found anything that you weren't expecting? Walking along and just come upon something that's really special, really unique. Maybe you've lost something, maybe for a long time, and then suddenly you find it again. You discover it. Once was lost, but now it's found. Isn't it fun finding things, especially if you can find something that's valuable, special? It's awesome to find precious and valuable things. Well, today we're still in the Same Sound sermon series we've been doing for some weeks, and I know better than to offer money and ask you to try to come up with all the sermons that I've gone over, because I can barely remember them. Well, honestly, I can't remember them all. I have to write them down on my paper. So for those of you that are joining us for the first time, we've been engaged in a semi-topical sermon series looking at different things. The rule is they have to start with the same sound or the same letter. So way back when we got together and celebrated our Easter, several weeks after the calendar said Easter, we learned what it was like to defy death. How we could live eternally in and through Christ Jesus. Then we looked at how we can fight fear. The next week, we destroyed discouragement. We don't have to live discouraged. We destroyed that. The next week, we stopped stressing. That was a good one. Don't have to stress. Don't live all full of anxiety. The following week, we discovered what it's like to live full of faith, just full of faith. And then the next week, we forgot failure. Put those failures behind and just forget the failure. And then last week, we learned what it was like to switch our slavery from being a slave to self and sin and switch it over to become a slave to the Savior. And today, we're going to get to find something together. We're going to find freedom. We're going to find freedom in Jesus. Now, this last Monday was Memorial Day. Our kids do scouts, and the scout troop was asked to help with the Memorial Day service out at the cemetery. So we had the privilege of going and being a part of that ceremony. And let me tell you, Ely did it well, very well. Powerful ceremony, very meaningful. We also helped put flags out on Saturday and they got to pick them up on Tuesday. A lot of people showed up to place flags at all of the veterans' graves clear throughout the cemetery. It was amazing. 800-900, nearly 1,000 some graves. They don't have an accurate count. Ely has been very blessed with as a patriotic community, lots of veterans. And the Memorial Day ceremony was special. Getting to observe such a powerful patriotic day together in a patriotic place like Ely was really unique and really special. And it reminded me of the freedom that we have that wasn't free. It came at a cost. Men and women had to give their lives that you and I can celebrate freedom together. And you might be here this morning and you think, well, we live in America. It's the land of the free. We're free here in America. We don't have to worry about fighting for freedom or finding freedom. It's already here. Well, last week we talked about every person that's ever been born is born a slave. We're either a slave to ourself and sin, or we switch that slavery over to become a slave to the Savior, to Jesus, where He sets us free from the bondage of sin, but then we're enslaved to Him, to follow after Him, no matter what He says or asks. And so you may not know it, but the truth is, all of us are slaves. We're slaves, but as you'll find today in this precious scripture, we're going to discover that as we're slaves to the Savior, we're also free in the Savior. We're free to be slaves, and as we're slaves, we're free. It's unique and special in Jesus. Today we're in the book of Romans, Romans again, chapter 8 today. We'll be in the first six verses of Romans chapter 8. So if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn there, find the book of Romans. It's not far into the New Testament. If you don't have a copy, don't worry. We've got the scripture up on the screen for you. If you have a fancy electronic Bible like I do here, you can find a place, not now, but after worship, called the YouVersion app. I really like that app. It's free, and virtually every translation is available on that YouVersion app. And I use the CSB. It stands for Kurt's Special Bible. So I have to use it. When they name a translation after you, you use it. And so we do here at Ledge Rock, CSB, Kurt's Special Bible. That's what I'll be reading to you from today. So the book of Romans, real quickly, amazing book, full of doctrine, full of theology. The book of Romans was primarily written from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome to explain who they are in Jesus, that there was no confusion between Jews and Gentiles, what it meant to turn your life over to the Savior and to be saved and changed and made new. And wow, if you're new to Christianity, if you're exploring your faith, read the book of Romans and then give me a call when you're confused, and together we'll work it out and help make some sense out of it. But Romans will change your life. It is amazing. One of my favorite books of the Bible. Some of my favorite verses here today, along with Isaiah and all the rest of God's Word. All right, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace." Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here in this place to praise and worship you and to share in your word together. And Father, I thank you for this message that you have given to me. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you take your word and speak it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask that you open up each of our hearts and minds that we may hear your word and understand more clearly who you are and who we are, who we can be in Jesus, and how we can faithfully know and serve you all the days of our life. So Lord, move among us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said. Amen. So today's message is about the truth that all of us can find freedom in Christ by following this biblical example that the Apostle Paul lays out for us here in this eighth chapter of the book of Romans. The first point to today's message is understanding freedom. What is freedom? What's it look like? What's it mean? Why do we even care about it? I was preparing the message and I recalled the story when Jesus was talking with some of the religious leaders in John chapter 8. And Jesus was talking about knowing the truth and the truth setting them free. And they responded with saying, "Well, we're Abraham's children. We're God's people. We've never been enslaved to anyone." I don't know about you, but when I read that, I just chuckle to hear the audacity of what they said. They've been enslaved a large portion of their life. They've been enslaved a lot. In fact, they were under Roman occupation right then. Brutal dictatorship, just brutal Roman intimidation. And they're saying, "We've never been enslaved to anyone." It's funny. It's sad to see people that are actually in slavery and not even know that they're slaves at all. It's funny and sad to hear that. The reality is that us today, we're bound by many things. We are held captive by so many things. And the funny and sad thing is that many of us, we don't even know it. We don't even recognize the sin in our lives that holds us captive and limits the movement of the Savior in our very lives. Many of us are held captive by so many things. I made a very short list. Many of us are held captive by idolatry. Did you know that anything that you put before our holy and perfect God is idolatry? Anything that we put ahead of our worship of Him, our growth in Him, our love for Him, our love for our neighbors, anything that comes in the way of that we put ahead of that is idolatry. Many of us are held captive by bitterness and anger and hatred. We might not like to think of our anger as hatred, but look at the political climate that we live in. Many of us are held captive by what was going on in the country, or what is going on, or what may be coming down the pike in our country, and we're bitter and angry and holding hatred in our hearts for people that don't think like us. We're held captive by things like that, strife and jealousy. We're held captive by selfishness. Boy, we can excuse that one. I know what I'm doing. I think this, and we should all do that. It's my way right away. We're held captive by selfishness and selfish desires. What about gossip? Sometimes we even like to say, well, it's prayer requests. We want to pray for people. Did you know? Can you believe? Are you as upset as I am about what so-and-so's doing? You should be equally mad. In fact, let's be really angry together. A lot of us are held captive by gossip, and we don't really think much about it. That leads to disunity. Instead of working together as the body of Christ, made up of so many different parts, that we look different, we think different, but we're all necessary. We're all precious and perfect and very important. But we think our own ways are more important, and so we're disunified, held captive by unforgiveness. Anger and bitterness and hatred lead to unforgiveness in our hearts, which just hardens and blackens our heart and robs us of so many things. We're held captive by lust. And it doesn't have to be sexual. Lust after bigger fish, more money, bigger house, better job, better church, better whatever. Lust and gluttony. Now, believe you me, I like Red Cab and Custard a lot. So maybe I can make a little bit of an excuse for that one. But gluttony is so easily brushed away as not a problem, and some of us are held thinking about lusting after something that we can feast on that isn't the Lord, it isn't the Spirit. We're held captive by laziness, slothfulness, and pride. Pride is the root of all sin. We're held captive by pride. It's what we want. It's my way. It's selfishness. We're held captive by so many things. And here's the sad part, is the devil has tricked us into thinking those things are normal and those things are okay. The devil has tricked us. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, precious ones, that's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. It's not normal. It's not okay. It's all sin. And there's so many sins that that haunt us and hold us captive, and all sin is foul in the sight of our precious and perfect Lord. All sin is tragic and filthy and disgusting in the eyes of a perfect and holy Creator. You see, God created the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, and it was absolutely perfect. God created perfection, but God also created free will. He created man and woman to complement each other, to work joyfully in the garden, to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord. But he also put that tree there in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Lucifer sinned. He became prideful. He wanted it his way. He wanted to be worshipped. He didn't want to worship God. He wanted to be the center of worship. And God cast Lucifer down, and he took a third of the angels with him. That's our demons that we experience today. And then literally all hell began to break loose on the earth as the devil tempted Adam and Eve, and they succumbed. They became prideful. They said, yes, we want to know good and evil. We want to be like God. And they ate. And all hell broke loose. Sin entered mankind. Darkness entered. Death entered. Famine, cancer, pestilence, war. Just death, darkness came on the earth. God created perfection. Sin brought its ugly consequences here to the earth. In the book of Romans earlier, a couple chapters back, chapter 3, tells us that as it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The thing that we have to know and understand so clearly is that sin is everywhere. Sin is horrible. Sin is a tragic train wreck. And that all of us have done it. We are all guilty. We are all held captive by selfish sin. And then Romans 6, the beginning of verse 23, says the penalty for our sin, the wages of our sin, is death. Sin, one or 100,000, leads to death. That's bad news. It's terrible news. It's tragic news. It's depressing. And you might be joining us for the very first time, or watching us live, or in the future on our live stream, and you might say, I'm never going back to Ledgerock. That place is depressing. That's discouraging. The preacher stood up there and he told me that I'm a sinner, that I've brought darkness and death into my own life and all around. That was just terrible news. And you're right, at least, well, don't leave yet. It is terrible news. It is tragic. We are all guilty. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve the penalty for our sin. But you're going to hear now in the rest of today's message something about a God that I know, the God that I serve, the God that I love, the God that has changed my life radically, and how crazy cool our God is. Because God didn't just simply leave us in the tragedy of our sin. He didn't leave us stuck and mired in the filth that is our own selfish pride. God sent His perfect Son to save us and set us free from sin and its horrible consequences. Now that you know and understand the reality of what we're dealing with, freedom will mean so much more. The first two verses, just listen to God's word. Understanding the reality of sin, the extent of sin, its consequences. God's word says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The truth is that in the right time in history, God sent Jesus to come and set us free from the bondage of sin, give us freedom from the law and all of its ugly consequences as we break that law. There is now no condemnation for those of us that have given our lives over to Jesus. We can find freedom from whatever holds us captive in Christ, in Jesus. We can find freedom from bitterness in our lives. We can find freedom from unforgiveness that we've been holding on to for so long. We can find freedom from anger and malice and gossip and disunity. And we can find freedom from whatever is holding us captive in Christ. More precious than silver or gold is this new life we have in Jesus. Now we know and understand and can appreciate our freedom because we know what the consequences of our rebellion was. We see how great the gift of Jesus is. Now we know where freedom comes from. We have to look and understand how we get it, what happens, where it came from, and that is that it's a gift from God. Verse 3 says, what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering in order that the law's requirements might be fulfilled. And I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick up from there in a moment. We've got to understand the law for a moment. The law was given by God. God is perfect. God is holy. And what God wanted his children to know is that it's his way, not our way, that matters. He knew that pride would be an issue with his creation, and so he gave us the law to know what his standards are in its absolute, total perfection. The law was given to show us what God wanted. But then the law also was given to show us our inability to keep it, our ability to break it very easily, and then its consequences. The law was given as a neon arrow to point you and I to the need for a sacrificial Savior. Beginning of verse 4 says, in order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled. See, God's standards always was and always will be total perfection. We sometimes are guilty of thinking just being better is good. Just be better. Just continue to be a little better. Be good. Don't be bad. Be good. If you're good, be a little better. And if you're a little better, be even better. We're tricked into thinking better is good when God's standards are perfection. The law points out our imperfection and our need for a perfect Savior. Verse 3 again says, what the law could not do, since it was weakened by our flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as the once and for all sin offering. Now, back in the Old Testament, if you've read back there, you read all about lots and lots of sin offerings. Animals, lambs, primarily goats, rams, even birds, pigeons and doves were offered up as temporary sin offerings. Priests, even families, offered up animals. They killed the animal. They spilled the blood. They did various things with the carcass of those animals to pay the penalty for their sins. You see, the consequences for sin always has been death. Always will be. They used to make animal sacrifices back then, temporary animal sacrifices over and over and over again to continue to pay for their sins. But then God, in his perfect love for his creation, sent Jesus, God the Son, here to earth. And Jesus came born of a virgin, and Jesus lived an absolute, perfect, sinless life. The life we were intended to live, Jesus did for us. And I love in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, not a single stroke of the pen will not be completed and fulfilled before it's all said and done. The neat thing about Jesus is he didn't like abolish God's laws. Jesus completed God's laws for us. Now we receive the gift of what Jesus did as though we did it our own selves. Jesus came in the likeness of flesh to fulfill the law for us. What we could never do, what the law couldn't do in the flesh, Jesus did and fulfilled it and accomplished it. And then at the right time, Jesus went to the cross on Calvary. And there on the cross, Jesus died and gave his life, spilling his blood and giving his life to pay the penalty for our sin once and for all. There on the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished," because no longer do we have to kill any animals to pay for our sin. Now, by faith, we simply receive the gift of the forgiveness for our sins because of what Jesus did. Then they took his body down, they buried him in a tomb, and on the third day, Jesus came back from the dead to life, and now he's ascended up to heaven where he is waiting for the right time to come back to earth and rapture up the church, and all of God's things will finally be fulfilled. But the crazy cool thing about our God is that Jesus completed and conquered the law and sin and all of its consequences for us forever. And two of the coolest words in Scripture, as we think about freedom and how we get it, is these two words in verse 3. Well, let me just read all of verse 3. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, get this, God did. God did. God did it for us. See, no amount of work we could ever do will ever earn favor in God's eyes. We cannot be good enough. We cannot work hard enough. Nothing we could ever do in our flesh, on our own, will ever make up for one sin, let alone a lifetime of sins. We understand we can be set free from whatever holds us bondage through Jesus, and we have to know and understand that it's a gift from God. God did it. God did it for us. I love Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us in spite of our sin, demonstrating how you and I are to love each other and love our neighbor. Freedom is a gift from God. Now we know and understand what freedom is, what we're free from, and where it comes from. We have to understand then how it is we get it. How do we find this freedom? Where does it come from? We're going to pick up in verse 4 where we left off. Well, I'll just read all verse 4 and 5. In order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled, and here's where we pick up new, in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. So how do you and I find freedom in Christ? How do we grab a hold of this gift from God, this gift that God did for us that we could never do on our own? How do we get it? How do we find freedom? It's simple. Do not live fleshly. Do not listen to the voice of your flesh. Do not follow your pride. Do not follow your selfish desires. Do not be held captive any longer by whatever it is that's been holding you captive. How do we grab a hold of this gift of freedom from God? Do not live in the flesh any longer. Do live in the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 if you want to know the difference between the flesh and the Spirit and what it looks like. The evidence of the flesh is very easy to recognize. The evidence of the Spirit is equally easy to recognize, to know and understand. Don't live in the flesh, do live in the Spirit. Freedom is found from following Jesus, not following yourself, not following the lust of the flesh. Freedom is found in following Jesus. What do we do to turn our lives over from sin, slavery to self and sin and its consequences? How do you and I find this freedom, grab a hold of the freedom that we now know is available in Christ? It's a gift from God. How do we do that? What do we do? The first thing is you have to realize your guilt. Satan's played amazing tricks in our lives in convincing us that we're really pretty good people. Better than most. Definitely better than our neighbor. Satan has pulled a trick on us and convinced us that we are just really pretty good. And that sin that we've been engaged in for all of our days really is no big deal. God's good. Well, I hope that today, through the beginning of the message, you understand we're not good. No, not one of us. That we are guilty in our sin. The first thing that you have to know to find freedom is realize your guilt. Realize you're wrong before a perfect and holy and just and righteous God. The first step in finding freedom is realize your guilt. The second thing is to repent of your sin. Repent is just a word that means turn away from. Turn away from, but even more than turn away, it's to light that house on fire and then walk away from it, never able to return again. That's what it means to repent of our sin. Realize our guilt, repent of our sin. Believe me, I am human. It's brutal to repent. I can repent for a while, a week, a month, a year, 5 years, and then suddenly that sin is back in my life. And where did it come from? Strive to continually repent of your sin. Do not be caught up on your failure. Forget that failure and walk with Jesus. Realize your guilt. Repent of your sin. Recognize that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only hope. He's the only answer to the world's problems. Recognize your sin, repent of that sin, realize that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and then submit to Him. Cry out to Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus with your mouth and in your heart. Believe that God raised Him from the dead, and the Scripture says that we will be saved. Submit to Jesus as Lord. Surrender to Him and His will, which means obeying Him. No matter what he asks, it's a big ask, but Jesus is worth it, and he's worthy. Think of it this way, for those of you that were here last week or watched online, switch your slavery from self and sin, switch it over to the Savior, and then be set free. Be made new. Here's your quote for the day, if you take notes. Get your pencil ready. Here's your quote. This is good. It's really good. I like it. They all start with the same letter, so it's easy for all of us to remember. Freedom follows forgiveness from faith. Think about that one. Freedom follows forgiveness, and the key that unlocks it is our faith. And you could add in, it comes from the Father. Freedom follows forgiveness in our lives from our faith. The Bible says that we are saved by God's grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then it says we're God's handiwork, we're God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have to do anything. We're created for good works. It's not our works that save us. Our saving drives our works, makes us work. Freedom follows forgiveness from faith. And here's the deal. If you've been forgiven, you must also forgive. Those that have wronged you, those that you don't like, if you've been forgiven much, you must also forgive. Living our lives, fighting off the flesh and following after the Savior makes us new. Makes us different. Look at verse 6. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, But the mindset of the Spirit, get this, is life and peace. When we switch our slavery over from ourself, which is the flesh, to the Savior, which is Jesus, He sets us free. He gives us freedom. We are released from sin, released from its consequences. We're released from whatever holds us captive. We're set free in Jesus. Many of us, which brings peace, by the way, many of us are held captive, bound by so many things in our life that robs us of life, robs us of freedom, robs us of peace. Today, I hope you've heard from God's Word how you can be set free, released from that bondage to whatever has been hardening your heart and blinding your eyes. Set free from things that you didn't even realize were holding you captive. You didn't even know wasn't normal or okay. My prayer is that the Spirit right now is convicting you of whatever you've been holding on to, whatever you've allowed to take the place of God in your life, whatever's been holding you back. My prayer is that today, from now until you leave, well, do business with God as long as it takes, the rest of the day, the week, whatever. My prayer is that today you'll begin the process of being set free, that you'll find freedom that we have in Jesus. My prayer is that we here at Ledge Rock will live set free. Set free in finding freedom, celebrating freedom in Jesus. He's the answer. He's the only hope that we have. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for the gift of freedom that we have that came from you in the likeness of flesh, but truly just God in the flesh. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that He was able to do for us what we could never do on our own. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will help each of us to truly just submit to you, surrender to you, to allow you to be our Savior and to turn away from that old life and celebrate a victory now, today, in Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you. How can we ever stop singing your praises? Father, forgive us for our sin. Show us how it is that we can follow you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stay.